Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, I just need to know, where were you last week? Oh, we had some kind of time over here on this due time with Pastor Steph, and we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. And we just, you know, we didn't focus on any one thing last week. We just did some arbitrary relationship questions. And, you know, we just asked the due time crew, you know, what are some of the annoying habits other couples have that just irritate you? Well, you know, the due time crew always gets quite, you know, interesting. And we talked about sitting in the booth where you're supposed to be eating and getting up out of there, but instead you looking at one another across the table. One of you have jumped up into the one side of the booth, and now y'all smooching and holding up the restaurant, and they can't close. Oh, my goodness gracious. Come on, you know those people. You're like, oh, good. Go to a hotel. Go home. Yes. You know those kind. I mean, come on. You're just wasting and utilizing just time. We ask the due time crew, if you're having a bad day, would you want people to leave you alone? Or no, not people, but, you know, your significant other. Leave you alone, spend time with you, or cheer you up? Well, we had a unanimous cheer me up. Yeah, okay. And I love the question, that sentiment. Oh, that you just can't stand. Oh, my goodness gracious. How about boo? Oh, Brother Al said he can't stand that word boo, and that name boo, rather. And you hear it in songs, and you, oh, he just can't take it. And then the other one was, Daddy. Oh, that's Lady Tamika. Oh, you know, we had such a good time last week that, we're going to do it again this week. Yes, the due time crew holds us down on Mondays, you know, while we get our other segments that normally take place on Monday back in line. You know, they have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful group that you got to have on Monday when you're trying to shake the Monday morning blues. Yeah, how can you live without them on a Monday morning? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we finished off our Monday with none other than the switch tip. And our switch tip Number 47 was smile. Smile, you know, come on. Put that smile, show those pearly whites. Well, I hope they're pearly white. Show that smile. Show people that God is just in you. You know, it's amazing how, you know, we just walk around and we all frowned up. And, you know, it's like, how are we all frowned up? We're supposed to be Jesus's people. We're supposed to be, you know, people of the light. How are we all frowned up? I don't understand it. You know, when people look at you in the morning, sometimes it's that smile that just helps to move them on. You know, they're going, she's smiling, why am I frowning? You know, you don't know what your smile can do for a person. And as people of light, we're supposed to be, make sure you get up and you do what you have to do to put that smile on your face so that other people will know that you are with God and it's going to be all right. Yeah, because, you know, that's what people need to know. They just simply know that it's going to be all right, you know. And that smile says that, you know what, it may not even be all right, but I'm working toward it. I'm going to see to it that it's going to be all right. So that's our switch tip for last week. Smile. So how many of you have been smiling since you heard that, huh? Okay. Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday, and it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day, and we talked about Church Folk Fight 2. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious, you know, unfortunately, Church Folk Fight 2. You know, we still have not figured out how to get the job done without fighting in the church. Yes, we're not just talking about fighting in general now. No, I'm sorry. That's not the case. We're talking about fighting in church. And as always, Pastor Ed and Pastor Charlene have the best church stories. I just need to know, well, what church they go to? Because especially Pastor Charlene, she can come up with some stories. Yes. So, you know, it's unfortunate that we have not, you know, decided to take a different, make different decisions, and we ain't fighting like the people in the street. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. No. But, you know, we got to make sure that we take a different stance where people can really see Jesus in us. Okay. Well, we then moved over to Wow Wednesday. And as always, our girlfriend Viv opened up the show with her wonderful socially conscious news. And unfortunately, hey people, what's with these numbers? Now we went into spring break time and now all the numbers went back up again. You know, well, thanks to her weekly COVID update on those numbers, we can see that last week, oh my goodness, it was quite bad. Yes, and we for a few weeks, she said those numbers were coming down. Now all of a sudden, you done messed around and we got them numbers back up again. Come on, people. You got to get that together. Well, we moved over to the women of worship. And we had those questions that daughters need to ask their moms. Yeah, if you really want to find out who you are, you know, how else are you going to find out? You can't find out who you are if you're 35 and talking to the people who knew you from when you were 35. No. Who you are stems from the very beginning. So they had this list of questions that daughters need to ask moms. And, you know, one of the questions that they said, you know, well, you know, where does my middle name come from? Because we know that people, you know, put some thought. Yeah, they do. No matter how crazy that name may sound, there's some thought put into that name. Yes. And what was your favorite picture? you know, of me. And, you know, it's just, you know, what was that thing I did when I was little that made you laugh and smile? Yeah, you know, you want to know who you are. You want to know why you are the way you are. Go back and talk to Mom. You know, especially for those of us who don't have a big memory. Now, that's not, you know, that's not my case. My case is I remember back from when I was like 2. Yeah, I could see stuff now better than I could see two days ago. Ah, I'm trying to figure out why I stepped up in the kitchen. But if you don't really remember what shaped you as a woman, go back and talk to Mom. And, you know, if we don't have Mom around, maybe we can talk to, you know, maybe auntie or, you know, cousin or someone who, you know, knew us when we were little, and maybe they could answer some of those questions. Okay. Well, as always, the ladies did a fantastic job. And then we had our techie talk with Dwayne. Yes, he stopped by and gave us some free technical advice, as always. And we closed our show with none other than, oh, Faith Over Fear with our pastor, Charlene. And, yeah, she was back. We missed her the week before. Oh, but she finished us off nicely on Wednesday. Okay? So, Thursday. Now, Thursday, you know, our end of the week show got real interesting because Thursday, we were supposed to do one thing, and then we ended up talking about those dogs. Yes, those fake dogs that are supposed to be, you know, companions and only out in public for the companions, I should say. Yes, those fake service animals, they're everywhere. Yes, just disregarding the rest of the world and what you got going on and how you feeling, and if you have allergies or a fear. Yeah, it's like regular people don't matter if you don't have a dog. Like, non-dog owners don't matter. You know, can we put that on a shirt? Yes. Well, that's just the deal, to be honest. You know, there's a disregard for how we feel and everybody, you know. Oh, we talked about where we see these dogs and how you got the dog up in the shopping cart. Oh, my goodness gracious. Please don't start me up because y'all know if you listen to last week's show, I was full of, oh, I can't take it. Yes, I can. So the Due Time crew just flushed out everywhere. You know, we saw dogs where we never expected to see them. And it's not that we're dog haters, so please hold your horses, slow down, fall back, get a grip. We're just saying be fair. There are rules for those and abilities, you know, for those who really, really need it. And there's others that are just pushing the envelope, you know, just doing what you do, you know, disregarding. You know, yeah, you know you. You know who you are. Yeah, you know if we're talking about you, because guess what? If you disregard that, you disregarding a whole lot of other stuff. So, yeah, I'm talking about you today. Okay, and we were talking about you on Thursday, too. Okay? Well, listen, Friday ended up being no different. Yes, Freestyle Friday was exactly what we called it, Freestyle Friday. I had one conversation that I planned on having with the gentleman, and then we moved over to jail time for juvenile delinquents. Are we going to give them jail time? How do we handle all of their mischievous, you know, behavior? Okay? How do we handle juvenile theft and larceny? You know, they're shoplifting and they're, you know, stealing and, you know, or how do we handle their vandalism? Tagging and graffiti, writing on the public bathroom walls, yes. Leon was here. You know, you've seen it. How do we handle their alcohol offenses? Underage drinking, how you provide alcohol to underage people. Yes, when you drink and you hand it to your 12-year-old cousin. Yes. What about that disorderly conduct? Disorderly conduct. Fighting, cussing at the teacher, flashing and mooning, and indecent exposure. How are we handling things such as that? Well, our men had some interesting conversation. Yes, it was really, really, really interesting. And they gave you something to listen to, and they definitely sent us something to go into the weekend with. Oh, my goodness. So we had a really good week. So you know what I always say? Go back and listen to past episodes. Last week was crazy. Okay? Well, now, today, right now, oh, it's Monday, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Again, hopefully, yes. If we did such a wonderful job getting this done last week, we definitely want to do it again this week. So, you know, God has been just exceptionally great to us, as always, and he has helped us to come into a new week, and it's Monday all over again. So we're giving God thanks that we can, you know, see a new day, and, you know, for all of those spring breakers who was off last week, wow, what'd you do? Oh, I hope you weren't out there, you know, getting sick and bringing it back home to your family members. But you were, you know, you took care of your mask and washing your hands and all of that stuff, right? All right, because you don't want me to have to start playing those commercials again. All right. Well, let me give you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. And we are going to talk this morning. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. We're going to talk this morning. And we're going to definitely enjoy one another after having a wonderful weekend. And can you believe that weekend went by so fast? Yeah. Okay. So listen, I gave you that number for a couple of reasons. Okay. Well, I gave you that number so if your internet gets a little wacky, you can just call on in. And if you get disconnected for any reason, listen, call. Call back. Yes. It's been acting weird, you know, the enemy tries to do what he does, and that's interrupt, and that's kill our conversation, all righty? And if you want to talk, you can call that number. If you want to join the conversation, call that number, okay? Ooh, 516-387-1358. That should be on, you should have that on speed dial. Yeah, you should. And okay, you do? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you want to text, we can take that too. 347-285-7777. Okay? So we got, you know, we got options here. We're giving it to you. All right? So listen, hang on. Hang on. Go get that, you know, that fresh, good, healthy breakfast. And we're going to be right back. And make sure you text a friend and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. We'll be right back.
The outbreak of COVID-19 has affected people across the nation. The rapid numbers and urgency for life-saving healthcare can give a small insight into the difficulties that people living with blood cancer and blood disorders deal with year after year. For many patients, right now, life-saving bone marrow donors are more crucial than ever. So we need your help. By spreading the word and encouraging action today, you are offering hope to all those fighting blood cancers and blood disorders. Visit DKMS.org to join the fight.
good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time. Excuse me. We're Pastor Steph, and it's Monday morning, and we're shaking the Monday morning blues. Excuse me. We're shaking the Monday morning blues together. All right, and I welcome you to the beginning of the week. God has been so wonderful to allow us to have a safe week last week, and we had a safe weekend, and we're here together all over again. All right, so get those pads and pens out. Yes, I got some information for you. All right, let's see what we got. Well, for the first thing I want to say, this is really, really, really quick, but I came across it and I wanted to let you know about this little piece of information, okay? Now, you know when you go to the store and they give you an option as to what the, excuse me, you know, the option of whether you want to pay cash or with credit card, and then they always say to you, well, if you use a credit card, we have to charge you the fees. And yes, they're not lying to you. They're not lying to you. When you use a MasterCard or Visa, how do you think they make their money? Well, they charge the fees to the merchant for allowing them, you know, the access to, you know, MasterCard or Visa. Well, they're saying now that certain states are not allowed to charge you that fee, that processing fee, okay? Now, remember, they cannot charge. It's illegal, okay? It's illegal to charge the fee, a surcharge fee, okay, in five states. And that state, those states are Colorado, Connecticut, Kansas, Maine, and Massachusetts. Excuse me. All right. They say in Maine, government entities can impose credit card surcharges, but they cannot charge it to you. Okay? They cannot charge it to you. So they say offering a cash discount may encourage more customers to pay with cash. And it's kind of like strong-arming you in a way. You know, like I said, you know, they're not lying, though. I do know this to be a fact. You know, having, you know, as a merchant, I do know, and for many, many years, we had the option of using credit cards, of taking credit cards. And even now with the embroidery, you know, if we take your credit card, you know, we eat the fee. If we forget that, hey, you know, okay, so if this is $50 and you use that option, that $50 now becomes $48 that we get. Yeah, and it varies. It varies. It's not like no standard amount, you know, that we know what we're going to get. So the merchant eats the fees. But like I said, in these five states, Colorado, Connecticut, Kansas, Maine, and Massachusetts, they cannot charge those processing fees, okay? All righty, so if you live in any one of those states, if you know anyone who live in those states, make sure you share that information with them, okay? I don't live in any one of those states, but I want to make sure that you, you know, are well aware of your rights, okay? Well, get that pen and pad out, because I'm going to go over why anti-inflammatory diets are great for your overall health. Okay? Well, they say anti-inflammatory foods may help reduce inflammation, anti-inflammatory, and the chronic diseases associated with them. And you want to make sure you really write this list down, because afterwards what you need to do is go and find out what issues become make you debilitated because of inflammation. Okay, we just found out that eczema is agitated by inflammation. Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah. All right. They say anti-inflammatory foods include, get to writing, nuts and seeds, fruits and vegetables, and protein like fatty fish. Okay. Anti-inflammatory diets do not include processed meats, high-sodium snacks, and whole-fat dairy. Okay. Let me give that to you again. Anti-inflammatory foods include nuts, seeds, fruits and vegetables, and protein like fatty fish, and I'm sure salmon is on that list. Okay. And anti-inflammatory diets exclude foods like processed meats, that's your sandwich meats, high-sodium snacks, those chips, and whole-fat dairy. Okay? They say some of the most common and debilitating diseases, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, Alzheimer's, and Crohn's disease. And they have all been linked to chronic inflammation. Yes, those things are agitated, makes it worse, okay, when you have inflammation. Now, add to that eczema. Add to that fibromyalgia, and do your homework. Okay. Oh, okay. The anti-inflammatory diet encourages eating whole foods. Remember those whole foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and fish, and not eating the processed food. Okay. So, they have given us a nice list. So get those pens ready, and get the writing, okay? We have, on the inflammatory foods, we have refined carbohydrates such as white flour, bread and pasta, fried foods. This is the inflammatory foods. These are the ones that's going to make you worse, make you feel bad. Okay? So we got refined carbohydrates such as anything made with white flour, bread, pasta, fried foods, red meat, and that's beef, lamb, and they're including pork. Okay. You're writing? Okay, good. Processed meat includes pepperoni, hot dogs, sausages. Okay. They have added sugar such as sucrose and high fructose corn syrup. You got your trans fats, which is your margarine and shortening. You got your artificial sweeteners like aspartame, those diet sodas, those sugar-free ice creams, those sugar-free juices. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Processed foods made with soybean oil, corn oil, sunflower oil, cottonseed oil, and peanuts. Alcohol in excess, they're saying. Okay. Saturated fat, such as lard, whole fat, dairy, like we said earlier. Snacks, processed snacks, cookies, crackers, chips. High sodium foods, such as canned soups and deli meat. All right, that's all your inflammatory foods. So if you have any of those diseases, if you have eczema, if you have fibromyalgia, adding to those, that list, you don't want to eat those foods in excess. I mean, come on, you're not going to be able to avoid all of these things, but, you know, you got to cut down, because if not, then you're going to be all jacked up. Okay, well, we're going to go to the other side of the anti-inflammatory foods. These are the foods that you want to make sure you eat. Okay, ready? Okay, you got your whole grains, such as brown rice, barley, and oats. You want to eat those things. You want to eat extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, walnut oil. Wow, never heard of that one before. You want to eat those leafy greens, kale, spinach, collard greens. Somebody was saying to me the other day that they make their smoothies with kale, and they were choking. Yes, because kale is harsh, and it does not break down the way spinach does. So I suggested to her, get rid of that kale, eat it, cook it. If you're going to cook it, eat it. Do not, you know. And, of course, the more when you things, it breaks down the nutrients. But I'm sorry, I tried kale when I first started blending, and that is a hard thing. It does not break down. So I went to spinach and never turned back. All right, so make sure you get those leafy greens in. They say get those black beans, chickpeas, kidney beans, and lentils in. Black beans, chickpeas, kidney beans, and lentils. Okay, these are the foods you want to eat. They are not, they do not cause inflammation. Anti-inflammatory foods, okay? Nuts, almonds, walnuts, and pistachios. My favorite. Fatty fish, salmon, mackerel, sardines, okay. Vegetables such as cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, carrots, pumpkin, and squash. Okay. We want to get those flax seeds, sesame seeds, and chia seeds in there. Okay, we want to get that fruit. We want to get those berries, those oranges, those apples, grapes, pears, and cherries. Okay, you want me to give it to you again? Berries, oranges, apples, grapes, pears, and cherries. Okay. All righty. And we're coming down. They say those herbs such as basil, oregano, rosemary, sage, and thyme. Okay, basil, oregano, rosemary, sage, and thyme. We're talking about those spices such as cinnamon, cumin, garlic, cayenne pepper, and turmeric. Okay, cinnamon, cumin, garlic, cayenne pepper, and turmeric. And make sure dark chocolate, not the regular milk chocolate. Get that dark chocolate in. All righty. All right, come on. That was a thorough list that you just got regarding anti-inflammatory foods. as well as the inflammatory foods. So you have your list of things that you want to eat and things that you don't want to eat, and especially if you have heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, cancer, Alzheimer's, Crohn's, eczema, fibromyalgia. If you know of any other illness that is agitated, inflammation foods that we just read, make sure you hit us up, 347-285-7777. Okay? All right. So, welcome to His Due Time with Pastor Steph. Thank you for joining us today as we shake the Monday morning blues. And let's get started with our conversation of the morning. Okay? All righty. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you is the question.
I am well, thank you. I am well.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining us. Do you have any reason why you need to be worried about this anti-inflammatory versus inflammatory food?
Well, I mean, I like to say a couple of things. I've never seen a piece of fried chicken go up in flames in my belly. So, you know, I'm all right with the fried chicken. You know, I never had a fight with a steak. You know, there's food that you want to eat. Nah, you should have said there's food that you should eat. Because some of that food on that side, I don't want to eat. But maybe I should eat it, but I don't want to eat it. we need to talk to the professionals on how they word this stuff. I should eat it, but I don't want to eat it.
And there's a reason why we say you should, because we always know that the stuff that's good for you is always the stuff that we just don't want.
Right.
And that's just like life, isn't it? It's not just food. It's just the good stuff in life. We don't want that stuff. We want to be sinful. We want to have a good time.
Right.
And good time,
eating that
fried chicken. That's right. So, okay. Well,
I think you said rosemary was good, right?
Yes.
Well, I dated a rosemary in my past life, so that should be all right.
Well, you know what? Unless that effect is still affecting you now, I don't know about that, Pastor Gail. If rosemary didn't wore off, then it might not be so helpful now in your new life, not in your former life. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving God thanks that we're here today through a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop, cheetah, chop, chop, chop of the morning. Oh, yeah.
Hey, brother Al. Listen, last week you wanted to make an announcement of some sort, and it kind of got by me. It was too late. But I'll give you the floor now. What do you got to tell us?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. What I wanted to do, first of all, I want to thank all the listeners for listening in and you know, texting in your comments and hanging out with the Due Time crew. And thank you, Pastor Steph, for giving me this platform. What I wanted to mention out, something very important that you mentioned on Friday when you said that, you know, when we're reading all the stories and we're starting to see all these stories are attacking our children. And the enemy has a plan. So I want to inform especially parents, grandmothers, everybody who's dealing with children. The devil is on the attack. There is this rapper. His name is Lil Nas X. And Lil Nas X had a hit song called Old Time Road. Big song. Sold tons of records. This dude, 21 years old, he has a video out called Montero. He started a thing called Team Satan. He has a pair of sneakers that he got called the Satan Shoes. And on these shoes, they're red and black. On one side of the shoe, on the tag, it has a pentagram sign on each sneaker. On one side of the sneaker, it got 666. And on the other side of the sneaker, it has an inverted cross. For those who don't know, the cross is upside down. And it has a Bible verse, Luke 10 and 18, which says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, in the bottom of the sneakers, or the kids know, like air sneakers, they have like air bubbles in the bottom of the sneakers so that you can walk. They have red ink and a drop of human blood inside that in the shoes. The shoes cost $1,018. They sold out in 2 minutes. He only put out 666 pair. And I'm crying out to the parents to talk to your children, because this is serious right now. I mean, these sneakers are just selling. I think what's going to stop it is he took a pair of Nike sneakers and did it. He didn't ask Nike approval. Nike didn't approve of it. And Nike's suing the heck out of him right now, because they're like, listen, we don't want to be affiliated. You messing our name. You didn't ask for authorization. But I wanted to reach out to the parents. Talk to your children. Don't sit back and say, oh, you know, I ain't going to let my child see that. Sit down with your child. Watch that video. Talk to your child about it and explain to them, because a lot of these parents that be like, oh, no, I ain't let my child do it. I'm not going to expose it. Believe when I tell you. Their children are going to watch it. I was at school, and I'm hearing the kids talk about it already. Yo, you saw Lil Nas X? If they got a cell phone or internet, they're going to see it. So I'm crying out to these parents, talk to your children about this. Sit down and watch the video with them so you can educate yourself on what this dude got in this video. Like, the enemy is coming at us hard, and he's attacking our children because we're older. So once he attack our children and get our children, we done. So we got to keep praying. Like, this is a real serious matter. Like, it was so disturbing to me when I saw this. I'm like, I have to reach out and tell these parents and grandmothers and sisters and brothers, you got, please talk to your children and explain to them how this is wrong on every single level. And then you got stars, Miley Cyrus. She bought a pair, and she's sporting it. So, you know, you got people that look up to these stars, and they see them doing it. So they're like, oh, okay, that's cool to wear. Team Satan, that's what it's called. And the sneakers is called the Satan Shoes, 666. It's insane. So I just wanted to inform everybody, like, this is serious here. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to stay prayed up. We got to pray for our children. These sneakers sold out, Pastor Steph, in 2 minutes. The $1,018 is the cost of these sneakers, and they sold out in 2 minutes. The video got over 47 million views. So the enemy is attacking our children heavy, and we need to not run from it. We need to face this head on, and we need to put on that whole armor of God, and we need to talk to our children and say, listen, this is not right. You know, explain to our children instead of sitting back saying, nah, don't worry about it. I ain't going to let my children watch it. An 8-year-old, Pastor Steph, in my class was talking about it. 8 years old. He got a cell phone. Coach Al, you saw this video? I'm like, what are you talking about? So the kids are watching it when these parents are in their mind like, oh, no, I ain't going to expose my children. They're going to be exposed to it. We have to fight this enemy. We have to fight this enemy hard with the word of God and with the whole armor of God. So I just wanted to share because that was just so disturbing. I couldn't believe in the sneaker. It got red ink and a drop of human blood inside of it, and that's what's in the bottom of the sneaker. And the video is insane. So it's called Montero, M-O-N-T-E-R-O. Please watch it and talk to your children, please. Thank you for that, Pastor Duff.
Well, thank you, Brother Al. Thank you. I actually did hear about it last week when it dropped. And, yeah, it's real. It's definitely real. Thank you so much for giving us a further level of information. Actually, I was going to discuss it on Tuesday with the church folk and how we, you know, don't guard necessarily. So thank you so much for updating us and encouraging us to, you know, watch and listen and help our children navigate through life. We didn't have these worries. Our parents didn't have these worries when we were coming up because the internet was not out there. So Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
So let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday, Monday morning. Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. I am well. I got to hear my Monday morning jingle, so that always pushes me into a larger area of being fine. Thank you very much. How are you? How are you?
I am doing well. I was up early this morning pushing it. I was doing some exercises at 6 a.m., so I am literally right on top.
Wow. So we don't have to worry about you and this inflammatory food, do we?
Actually, no. That the list that you gave, that's mostly what I eat. You know, I'm a pescatarian, so my preference is fish. But every now and then I veer off. You know, I'm human. You know, every now and then a good something or another it tastes good, but. Yeah, that's normally my list of food. That's my go-to food.
Oh, okay, great. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good morning.
Thank you for swapping with Pastor KL and giving us that good morning that we're so accustomed to that we weren't able to get. So thank you for filling in. We so appreciate you. How are you today?
Thank you. I am doing great, thank you.
Good, very good. All right. So what's your diet like? Are you in that inflammatory foods area? Or that anti-inflammatory foods area?
A little bit of both. But I'm working on my diet now. I'm working on it. I'm starting to change up now. As of this week.
As of this week? Okay, Minister AJ. We've been working on this diet for how long, Tamika? He's just catching up with us this week. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, thank you, my due time crew, for joining me today. You know, I'm like, okay, so we've been on this help kick as we have been, you know, given these this information as to whether this stuff is good or not. Well, today I decided to go, you know, a little further in it. And we're talking about new relationships and you know, new relationships we've talked about before, just annoying at times, or some people, you know, like it, you know. Depends on who you are and what you like. And, you know, we're going to help the people who are beginning a new relationship. And we're going to talk about some of the things that, you know, they say we should talk about or ask. And I want you to weigh in on it. You know, is it something that we really want to talk about, or is it something that we could just leave off the table? Okay? Well, they say you should ask, what's the scariest thing that has ever happened to you as a kid? Now, this is a new relationship. We're not talking about first date necessarily, but this is a new relationship. You know, you didn't got to spend some time with the person. And they say as you move on, Pastor KL, is that something that you want to know about the person, the scariest thing that has ever happened to them as a kid?
I sure don't want to know that. I mean, it's of no interest to me, personally. Maybe in the way that they're acting or their personality, you know, maybe they're fidgety or they're jumpy or they don't open up, then you might want to, I mean, if there's a reason for asking, but I mean, just off, that doesn't sound like a very, very open conversation that you want to have. I don't really care what scared you as a child.
Okay. Brother Al, What's your thought?
Oh, yeah. Man. No, I don't think I would ask that. I think I would go past that. You know, like I said, unless like what Pastor Kel said, if you notice something, you know, just say if you're walking down the street and this person terrified of dogs, you're like, okay, did something happen to you younger when you, you know, because I see you a little jumpy when you see dogs. But other than that, I wouldn't ask that.
Okay. Lady Tamika, is that something that you would find a need to ask?
It's one of the questions that we rarely ever ask for some reason. You know, it's not even something that I even think about, you know, and as I think about it, I'm looking at any of the relationships that I've ever been in, and I'm just like, it's not a question that comes up until something triggers it. So if just like was previous said, if we're out somewhere and I start seeing signs that just don't, you know, they kind of don't seem normal, then I might delve in. But normally, it's not a question that I would ask in the beginning of a relationship. It's usually something, if it ever happens, would happen later on in a relationship.
Okay. Minister AJ, is that something that you see the need to ask?
Not at all. I don't like anything scary, so count me out. Then if you tell me something scary, you know, it might make me go the opposite way. I'm a scary person. You know, I don't like scary movies. I don't like anything scary. You know, I'm still scared of the dark. I'm joking.
Okay. Brother Al, one of the questions that they're giving us to ask in a new relationship, what part of your culture are you most and least proud of? Is that a question that you think that, you know, that there'll be some value in asking that?
No, I don't see me asking that at all. I can't see me asking that.
Okay. Tamika, what part of your culture are you most and least proud of? Is that a question that you think would be of some value in the beginning of the relationship?
If you don't share the same culture, that would be something that would engage or, you know, cause a conversation. But if you're dating someone who has the same background, and most of us date that way, then I wouldn't see that as a conversation that would be an opening piece.
Okay. What about you, Minister AJ? I'm sorry.
I don't see that as a question that I would ask, or I would want somebody to ask me. Because where are you going with that? Just because my race may be, you know, there may be some stereotypes about my race, I could be totally, completely the opposite. So I don't see the point. I would.
Okay. And Pastor KL, what about that question?
I'm kind of in agreement with Tamika. I mean, if you have jungle fever and you know you're dating outside your race, then you might want to know some information about that particular culture. But I mean, if you're dating similar race, I think we all face the same thing.
Okay. Tamika, what qualities make someone a genuinely decent human being? That's the question. Is that a question that you feel should be one that you talk about in the beginning of a relationship, in a new relationship?
I think that would be a good question because everybody's background is not the same, and everybody's thoughts about certain things are not the same, and what's important to me may not necessarily be as important to you, and I need to see where you're going. You know, if you're going down one street, I need to make sure, you know, we were talking in the past about, you know, being on the same page. Pastor KL mentioned, are we in the same book? You know, are we in the same country? Are we in the same world? It's important because I need to understand if we're ever going to go from this point to another point, you know, I need to at least understand your perspective, even if it's not the same, so that I know, you know, your train of thought and if I even want to engage from this point further.
Okay, okay, okay. Minister AJ, what qualities make someone a genuinely decent human being? Is that a question you talk about, you know, you bring up, excuse me, in a new relationship?
Absolutely, because you need to know their level of being morally good or how they think or what they say will kind of steer you in a direction of, you know, what they think about morals. Their level of morally good could be at level two, which would be a red flag. So you need to know by what they're saying, it'll tell you where they're at. You know, is the things that they say about, you know, being morally good, is it surface? Is it deep? You know, it'll even tell you, you know, how much time, you know, how they invest in themselves. Do they love themselves or do they love people? A lot can come out of that question. So I'm going to go with yes on that.
Okay, okay. What about you, Pastor KL?
Yeah, I think that's a question. I think, you know, again, that answer can give you red flags on whether you need to be with that person or not. I mean, like if they say, well, you know, I'm not a thief, but when I'm hungry, I do steal potato chips from the bodega. You know, I mean, what kind of integrity do they have? You know, I mean, is this good? Sometimes, you know, I'm really not a cheater, but every now and then I want to eat something else. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to be able to listen to them closely. And a lot of times, you know, you have to listen to the underline of what they're saying so that you can determine whether mm-hmm. this is for me or not. So I think that's a good question.
Okay. And Brother Al, what qualities make someone a genuinely decent human being? Good question, in a new relationship or not?
No, I'm not asking that. I disagree with my peoples. The reason I'm not asking that is because, again, you got the people that show you the representative. You know, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, some people. You know, so I prefer to sit back and watch your action. Your action speaks 10 times louder than words. So I'd rather sit back and watch you and watch what you do. Watch how you handle things. Watch how you just take care of things. So for me, I'm not going to ask that. I'm going to just sit back and watch.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, the next question they say that you should ask, what do you refuse to spend money on? Minister AJ, is that a question you want to ask in a new relationship?
You know what? Let's go with yes on this, because you know, money is very important in a relationship. Maybe not so much in a new relationship, but listen, it's important. So let's go with yes. Because you need to know how this what they think about money. And because, you know, where men, you know, money is of great value to people. And how they spend their money says a lot about them. Do they spend frivolously? You know, are they careless with it? Do they really take thought into what they spend their money? You know, if you're doing, you know, or you're shopping, you know, you shop a lot, but then you're living out of a storage unit, then something, you know what I mean? Or you're living on the street, something is wrong. You know what I mean? And it's going, that's going to be, you know, a great determining factor whether you want to move forward or not, you know.
Okay, okay, okay. What do you refuse to spend money on, Pastor KL? Is that a question that you think a new relationship should, you should spend that time on that conversation?
What do you refuse to spend money on?
Yes.
Nah, I don't think so. I think, you know, like Al said earlier, that I would definitely watch. I mean, you'd be surprised, you know, people who buy, you know, hot dogs every day and now they got this extra money on the CBT. Now they buying, you know, lamb chops and lobster and stuff like that. No. You can watch somebody's habits and watch if they're wasteful, you know. And sometimes, you know, just in their habits, you know, again, it will determine on whether you need to stay here or not. You know, because, and I always use the analogy of if you survived off a McDonald's paycheck, and now you get a better job, you can still survive off that money that you got from McDonald's. So you shouldn't be able to spend all that money now because you have more money. You know, you have to be wise in what you do. So I would have observed that and see the behavior of their spending habits.
Okay, okay. Well, what about you, Brother Al?
Oh, yeah. Same like my last answer, I will watch. Because, again, like I said, people could tell you one thing or you can assume something and not know. You know, a perfect example, my sister. I love my sister to death. You see, my sister, she got nice things and stuff, but she's dead cheap. I'm telling you. My sister will hold a dollar bill so tight that George Washington got tears in his eyes. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
I had to sit back and watch. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, Pastor, George Washington got tears in her eyes. She holding that dollar so tight. So, for me, again, just sitting back and observing and watching.
Okay, okay. Tamika, what's your thought? Is that money question something that you want to talk about in a new relationship?
You have to be really careful, you know, about what you ask, especially in a new relationship. You start talking about money. He starts clinking his wallet. You know, it's just, you know, prior in the beginning of a relationship, I don't think that's a good idea. And, you know, you have to watch. You have to pay attention, you know. If, you know, it's one thing to go out to a restaurant and he's taking you out, but if he's whining and dining you at White Castle, not a good idea. So you just have to pay attention to what's being done or how it's done. Now there's nothing wrong with White Castle. I just, you know, just want to say that because I love a good White Castle burger every now and then. But if that's all we're doing, there's a problem there.
Okay, 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 okay. Wow, I got some interesting answers here. Okay, Pastor KL, would you say you're more of an extrovert or an introvert? Is that something that you want to ask in the relationship in the beginning?
For me, yes. For me, yes. Because I am a comedian, so I will make a joke anytime, all the time. And if you're not comfortable with stuff like that, if that, you know what I mean, we're going to have a problem in our relationship. You know, and you know, at any time, I can say, come on, let's go out, you know, with some church folks or something. And, you know, if that's just not you, we're going to have problems. So I need to know, you know, whether you're introvert or extrovert.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, is that a question you're asking in the beginning of a relationship?
No, I'm not asking that one either. I'm a watcher. I sit back and watch. I'm going to put you in a certain situation. See, with me, I put you in certain situations to see how you handle it, to see how you act. And, you know, so like I said, action speaks louder than words. So I'm more of a watcher when it comes to certain things. So, yes, I'm going to watch you and see what happens.
Okay, let me make sure I understand this correctly because you could be saying something but mean something different. You're not going to watch the person if the occasion comes up. You're going to put a person in a situation and watch their reaction?
In certain things I do. No, both. In certain things I do. Certain things I say, okay, you know, I'm going here. Okay. Just like I say, like what Pastor KL said, like, you know, is this person really into church? Okay, you know what? Let's go to church with me. I want to see how you act in church. I want to see how you perceive things. How do you just sit there and you're on your phone while we're in church, or are you praising the Lord with me? You know what I'm saying? So that tells me a lot right there on how you feel about religion.
That don't mean that's how I feel about religion.
To me, well, first impression means a lot, right? If I take you to church with me, and you're sitting there on your phone the whole service, you answered the question for me.
But that doesn't mean that that's how I feel about religion.
What did you say, Pastor Cal?
I said, maybe she's calling Jesus.
She better be. Put him on speaker so I can make sure that's who you're talking to.
You know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it's not an indication of certain things. If you pull out a phone in church, but it doesn't mean that that's how you feel about religion. I don't necessarily mean that. What if she's went to a church where she was bored out of her mind? Now, I'm not saying she should pull out the phone. I'm not giving you reason to pull out the phone. But, you know, I don't agree that that says a lot. Let me put it to the panel. Tamika, do you think that gauges how she feels about religion?
She's doing it. Maybe she had an emergency. Maybe someone texted her.
All service long?
You know, all service long. It might be an indicator of something. Maybe it might be that she's not engaged in that particular service.
Right. That's my thought. You know, maybe the service is boring. Okay, let's see what Minister AJ says. Minister AJ, what do you say? You know, you take somebody to church and they bust out their phone. You know, what does that say to you? Does that say that, you know, what she feels about or he feels about religion?
No, I don't think so. They might be watching another service.
They
might be saying, listen, this house is safe, but it's dry. You know, they ain't saying nothing. And, you know, I'm like that in church. I don't pull my phone out, but I'm somewhere else if the service is not, you know, on point. And some churches is just flat out dry, and they're not saying anything. So if they pull the phone out, I mean, you know, or they could be making plans when they get out of there to go to another service. I don't know, but, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Pastor KL. Do you feel that, you know, if you bust out a phone during the church service, that that's an indicator of how you feel about religion in general?
For me, absolutely not. Listen, I've been on quite a few Zoom churches on my laptop, and I got on my phone because I didn't know what was going on in the church service. They wasn't preaching nothing. They wasn't speaking nothing. They wasn't singing nothing. So I got on YouTube to see if I can hear Marvin Sapp talking about never would have made it.
Okay. So, Brother Al, that is not necessarily a gauge to, you know, to say that, you know, that's how they feel about religion. It could definitely be where they are, not just, you know, the religion in general. I have another question.
Oh, you know what?
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, maybe that was the wrong choice of word of religion. But the point of the fact is that that's mad disrespectful. I don't care how boring the church is or whatever. It's a different. Now, you heard what Pastor Carol said.
Absolutely.
He was on Zoom, so nobody saw him. Nobody saw him. But you're sitting
Absolutely.
There in front of a congregation or whatever, and you take us. So I take that back. I used the wrong word of their religion. But just disrespect to, like, wow, you know, you're sitting there on your phone. Or if it's boring or whatever, tell me, hey, listen, you know, I'm not really feeling this or whatever. And we could talk about it, but to pull out your phone and be on the phone
Brother
the whole
Al,
service, that's an issue for me.
Brother Al.
Yes.
It is disrespectful for you to invite me to a church that you know is boring. If you know your preacher can't preach and you want me to come to your church and be with you and praise God with you, I need to be able to praise them to something. If you know they are dead Presbyterians, I'm not. No, it's not disrespect. You disrespected me. You woke me up early in the morning, got me dressed, and got me excited about hearing a word that was not in your church. Yeah, I'm getting on the phone.
Well, you know what? One of the things is we keep saying if it was boring. What about if it wasn't? I haven't heard nobody say that yet. Everybody, if it's boring if it is?
No, hold on, Al. Hold on a second. Let's get this into perspective. proper perspective. You say if she pulled out a phone, and I made sure to ask you, if she pulled out a phone, what did that mean? And you said it meant that it was disrespectful. And I said, well, it meant how she felt about religion. And I said, no, it doesn't mean. So we were giving instances of why she could have possibly been pulling out a phone. We're not here to say all church services are boring or whatever. But if the church service is boring, she may pull out a phone. And I don't agree that the phone should come out in the phone, because personally, on Sabbath, don't call me. If the house is burning down, 911 is the number you should be calling. Don't call me, because I don't have my phone in my possession, because that day belongs to God. Now, if I happen to be sitting up in a church service that's boring, then God help me, because my phone is not going to be the go-to thing for Stephanie. But you're not going to hear anybody say right now that the service was good, because we're not talking about just a church service. We're talking about why this person possibly pulled out their telephone.
Pulled out the phone.
So no, you're not going to hear
that the
service was good, because we ain't talking about if the service is good. Now, Pastor KL says, yeah, he busting out whatever, you know, in the event that, you know, because it's disrespectful to him, you know. But for me, no, I'm not pulling out no phone. To me, it's still church. And God is still there. Now, whether it appeals to me, if I'm bored or anything like that, I'm not doing that in the church. Now, on a Zoom, oh, absolutely. I'm going to be walking around the house. I'm going to be picking up, sleeping, and all kinds of things I just might be doing. But in the sanctuary, that's a no-go for me, because that is still God's house, and I'm still going to give him the respect. But here's where I want to go with this thing next. I want to know. I'm not comfortable with debating. I don't. That's something I'm not comfortable with. Now I want to put that out to the panel. Now Brother Al says he's going to possibly tempt the person, because actually, to me, that's what you're doing. You're possibly tempting a person. He says, I'm going to take you somewhere. And somebody else, I think it was Minister AJ, may have said it. If I'm wrong, I apologize in advance. But he says, you know, I'm going to see how you're going to react. I'm going to put you in a situation, and I'm going to see how you act. And I'm not feeling the baiting. What do you think? Let's start from the top. What do you think, Pastor KL? I'm going to set you up to see how you're going to act. Was it you who said that?
No, it wasn't me.
No, it was me. It was me. It was Brother Al.
That was only,
No.
That
was only Al? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, it was only me.
Okay, so
only
Pastor
me.
KL. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Pastor KL, so what do you think about, you know, baiting a person to see how they, you know, put them in that situation to see how they would behave?
No, I think that's real dangerous. I mean, that one is, listen, even though I'm a clown, I embarrass easy. So, I mean, you put them in the wrong position and they embarrass you, you look bad too. No, I need to know before we go outside, you know, can you dress? Do I need to buy you an outfit? Because I don't need you coming out in fall green. You know, can you eat with a fork and a knife? You know, there's certain things I'm not going to just watch or put you in a situation. You know, if I say we're going out with my church folks and you talking about we're going to wait to see what happens when you come out with the church folks and you come out in a mini skirt, you know what I'm saying, and you talking ghetto like Bonquisha, no, we're not gonna watch that. I need to know that I can take you out before we go out with people. You know, we need to have a couple of dinners at the house so I can see whether you eat with your fingers or not. You know, we need to do some stuff together first before we go outside and you pick up that chicken with your hands. No, I'm not watching it. I'm not watching it first. I got to figure it out before I introduce you to my mama. I got to know you can, as Minister AJ said, put a sentence together. We're not going to find that out at the Thanksgiving dinner. No, thank you.
Okay. Tamika. You know, Brother Al said, you know, yeah, I'm going to put you in that situation because I want to watch and see how you're going to, you know, how this is going to all play out. What's your thought on, you know, on that?
I think it can be very dangerous because it could backfire. You know, you got this perfect plan, and you put it into action, and then it explodes in front of you. You know, kind of what KL is giving, you know, Pastor KL is giving you the visual. You know, you're doing something, you plan something, and it completely unfolds and falls apart in front of you because, you know, sometimes the best laid plans don't necessarily turn out the way that you plan them. So I think with the intention in mind to watch how everything happens can be a little dangerous.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, what say you?
I'm going with no on that, especially a clown. You don't want to do that because we clowns like to outdo. You do something, you know, we are very impromptu. So if I don't get the right reaction or if the reaction is crazier, it may make me crazier. So I'm going to go with no on that. You know, no. It's a no for me. It's a no-go for me. I'm not tempting you or testing you because I know how I am in regular debates that people invite me to. Y'all already know my thinking is strange. Like you say all the time, who thinks like that? So, no. If I set it up and then you give me a crazy reaction, So I'm going with no. I'd rather not. You know, I'd rather it be all on you. So if it's a situation that happens, I'd rather it be all on you. So however I react, you know, I got a leg to stand on, but I ain't setting it up.
Okay. We heard the general consensus on that. I'll leave the rest for my closing. I do want to ask you all this question. So I ran some questions by you that, you know, the experts say that we need to ask in a new relationship. Now, I want to ask you, because quite a few said, you know, quite a few times, you said, no, I'm not asking that. Pastor KL, in a new relationship, you've said no to some of these questions. What is a question that you feel you must ask in a new relationship? Because we need to help these people out. You know, everybody's dating, and now that everybody's starting to come out of the house again, and, you know, they've been locked up, they want to, you know, they want to start dating. So, come on, let's see if we can give them a hand in this thing here. What's the question that you really need to ask in a new relationship?
In a new relationship, I want to know, do you have children, and how many baby daddies you have? And this is why. It's not to be shameful, but this is why. Because when I deal with you, I deal with your children and their baby daddy. You know, so I got to know whether I want to deal with all that. You know, I'm already adapting a family, which means your children, but now I could be adapting problems, which means, you know, your former relationship. So for me, I need to understand that if you got five kids with five baby daddies, no, that's a team. That's a basketball team with some people on the bench. No, that means at any time you can substitute somebody and I can have a different headache. No, I don't want to do that. The other thing I want to ask is, listen, what is your 5-year goal?
No.
Okay,
I only got one.
Yeah. Well, the baby daddy is definitely important for me.
Okay, we may have enough time to come back around.
It's okay.
So, okay, Brother Al, is that
yes.
a question that you feel that needs to be asked in the beginning of a new relationship?
Well, what Pastor Carol said?
Yes.
Yes, I think it's very important because you want to know what you're dealing with. And I've been in that situation, so I believe it's very important to ask that question.
Okay. Tamika, is that a question that you feel needs to be asked in a new relationship?
Oh, yes, definitely. I can give you my own situation. I met this gentleman, nice-looking man, you know, was working out, doing his thing, and I was like, oh, this is great, you know, and I was talking to him, and he was talking to this female outside, and I tilted my head to the side, and I was like, well, that's a little strange, but I didn't pay it much attention. And so then a little later on, I said, well, who is she? He was like, that's my daughter. And I'm like, when I looked at her, she was standing taller than me. So that brought in the question, well, how many do you have? And he said to me, 7. So my thing is, if you already have 7 children and I'm getting into a relationship with you, what does that make me? That makes me gone. So, yeah, that is definitely something that you want to ask.
Oh, that's interesting. Makes me gone. All right. Minister AJ, is that a question you want to ask in the beginning of, not the beginning, because there's two different things, in a new relationship?
Absolutely, because after I ask that question and you give me an answer, I'm going to be watching, you know, are you even around your kids? Because definitely as a woman, if you're not attached to your kids or around your kids, I'm done. I am gone, too.
Okay, interesting. Brother Al, what, you said no, you just gonna watch. Well, I need to know, what question will you ask in a new relationship, or are you just watching everything? What's happening here?
No, certain things I'm going to watch and certain things I'm going to ask. One of my bigger questions, I mean, I have a few, but one of my bigger questions is, you know, what's your religion and are you saved? I need to know what your religion is. You know, you may be Buddhist. You know, you may be Muslim. So I need to know what your religion status is.
Okay. Tamika, is that a question that you would ask in a new relationship?
Definitely. Again, here we go. In my former life, you know, I met this gentleman and we started talking and, you know, we got into a conversation and he said, yeah, I believe in God. I was like, oh, great. Beautiful. He was like, but I don't believe in anything else. And I was like, what? He was like, no, I don't believe in anything else. And I was, like, completely confused. And I said to him, how do you engage in a relationship? You're supposed to be the head. So that means that if I don't believe what you believe, he was like, well, if you believe something different, we can get together. I said, no, that's not going to work for me. So it is something that is vital. You don't want to be in a relationship 6 months, you know, a year, and you just finding out that they don't believe in anything that you believe in. And it's important that you believe the same thing, you know, because it causes a whole lot of headache and a whole lot of extra stress. You praying to God and he's praying, I have no idea what.
All righty. Minister AJ, is that a question that you feel needs to be asked in a new relationship?
All right, let's go with yes on that one. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence about that one, because I feel like you can go on one date, we may not even get to the religion portion. You know, I might just see something on a date, like, you know, like Pastor Kale said, eating chicken with her fingers or cleaning her nails with the sugar packet. I may not even get to religion, you know.
Listen what we're talking about. We're talking about a new relationship. We ain't talking about the first date now. We're not talking about the first date. We're talking about new relationship.
Okay, so, yeah, so my answer stands. If it's a new relationship, a lot of times, no, but you mean like we've already dated. We've already been out, right?
Yeah. So you didn't see whether you didn't clean the nails or not.
I
don't
see the sugar packets. I don't see the sugar packets in the nails. That's what I'm saying. So absolutely, sometimes it's no cause to even ask about religion. You get what I'm saying? Because this is the thing. If you're off in religion, you're gonna be off across the board. That's the way I see it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
So we all need to be that.
Okay, thank you. Pastor KL, is that a question, you know, religion, is that a question that you want to, you know, talk about in the new relationship?
Oh, definitely. Because most likely if I met you, I've met you in church, or I met you in some kind of, you know, gospel function. So you should have already known the calling on my life. So now we have to understand the calling on your life. If there's a calling, you know, do you know how to hear from the calling? You know, what's your perspective on God? You know, and how do you, you know, how do you walk in it? You know, I need to know, at least, do you go to church every Sunday? You know, not just Easter and Mother's Day, and every now and then you go for a watch night service, then after that you turn up. You know, I need to understand, you know, what we're doing. So yeah, so I think that's an important question.
Okay. Tamika, what's that question that you, because you see, you know, I'm not asking that one, but I am definitely asking this one in a new relationship. What falls in that category?
I would think it's important to understand your relationship with your immediate family. So that means parents and siblings.
Okay. Minister AJ, in a new relationship, is that a question that you're asking about their parents and siblings, their family dynamic and relationship?
Absolutely. Because here it is, if you're not around, and I was actually talking about this yesterday, you know, in my one of my counseling sessions, you know, I was letting them know that even with certain races, they are close-knit. So if this person is just winging it out there, you might want to keep an eye on that. And, yes, how they handle their siblings and their family is very important. If nobody in the family likes them, if nobody in the family wants to deal with them, then, yeah, that could be a red flag. So absolutely.
Okay. Pastor KL, that family dynamic, you know, and how, you know, you get along with these people in your family, is that a question that you would ask in a new relationship?
You hit a nerve now. I might ask you, but please don't ask me. I mean, as some of y'all already know, you know, I lost my baby sister, and I just got on a Zoom with my brothers and sisters who liked neither one of us. None of us liked each other. And it was a Zoom from the HE hockey stick. So had my wife asked me that question in the beginning, we might not have been married. Because, yeah, I have a dysfunctional family. I was telling Pastor Steph, if any of y'all thought y'all was going to surprise me at this funeral, I wasn't giving out no information. it's going to be a comedy. So, no, y'all don't want to come.
Wow. All righty. Brother Al, is that a question that you would ask in a new relationship, or are you going to watch that one?
No, I'm going to ask on that. The reason I'm going to ask on that because, you know, when you take the survey on people, what's first? You always hear people say, God first, family second. So I want to know what's going on, you know. Is there any issues? You know, just because you have an issue with a brother or so-and-so don't mean that you're a bad person, you know. So, and I'm about family. So I want to know how you handle your family or, you know, what situations you got going on. You know, is there anything I need to be aware of? You know, like I got a brother that's my next older brother. He don't speak to me at all for whatever reason. He's just busy with his life. He don't be in contact with the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? So I had to pray for it and step back. You know, so yeah, that I think that's a good question to ask.
Okay. Ah, and Minister AJ, what's that one question that you need to ask in a new relationship?
Yeah. Are you single?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for those who are listening, help us understand what that means, because I think I know what you mean. But for those who may not be, you know, clicking.
I mean, yeah, because there's some people who they come into a new relationship and still haven't totally been released or released themselves from the last relationship. They got somebody in love with them, thinking that they're still in a relationship with them. And there's some people who don't come in wanting to date one person. So you get what I'm saying to you? They got Pookie over here, Earl over here, Ray Ray. So, you know, are you single? You need to ask that question because, you know, everybody's definition of single is different. You know what I mean? If I got three friends, but we didn't make a commitment, we're single. But if you're dealing with them, and especially if you're intimate with them, as far as I'm concerned, you ain't single.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for everybody. Pastor KL, is that a question, single in a new relationship?
That is definitely a good question. Let me tell you something. In my former life, you know, I used to have relationships like spades. I had one and two possible. There was always someone in the wings. You know, we used to always say, you know what you got, but you don't know what you're going to get. So sometimes you would keep what you got and then transfer to what you're going to get, you know, if it works out. But if it don't work out, you still got what you got in the wings, you know. So, yeah, you need to ask that question. Are you really single or, you know, am I just the show for the day?
Okay. Brother Al, single, or are we going to watch?
You know, honestly, that's a good question. You know, it's like my counterpart say, you have people, and I've been through that a few times. A woman was like, well, I told him it was over. Okay, so why he following us to the movies then? You know what's going on? He following us. Like, I don't understand what you mean. and me and you sit in the movies and he hiding behind the garbage can eating popcorn. Something ain't right. Something's not right. But you know, let me tell you part of stuff. I've been through crazy things in my former life, seriously. And well, honestly, I was dating a young lady, and we was dating. Then I didn't like hear from her. I look on Facebook, and she got a picture of she getting married. And I'm like, well, where did this come from? I mean, we were just hanging out 2 weeks ago, and she got a picture that she getting married. I'm like, are you serious? So that's definitely a question. Yeah, Pastor Steph, I'm telling you, I can write a book, Pastor Steph, I'm trying to tell you. And I had that happen to me twice. I'm telling you, I had that happen to me twice where I was dating a woman, and next thing I know, she was getting married. I'm like, well, where did that come from? You know, so yeah, Mr. AJ hit that right on the head. You got to ask those questions so you can know what's going on. You got to ask these questions so you can know what's going on.
I can't. Oh, my gosh.
What? I'm telling you the truth, Pastor. That's what happened. I can write a book, I'm telling you. And I'm sitting there like, wow, you could at least told me you was engaged, you know. And I might have went with the flow, but don't let me know. Don't just do it like that. I look on Facebook, so-and-so is now engaged to, ooh, what, when?
Maybe she was watching.
She might have been watching. She might have been watching.
Oh, I can't.
Hey, Pastor Steph, I was waiting for her to call me and ask me to DJ the music.
Oh, gosh, I can't. Tamika, is that a question that you need to ask? Are you single?
The sad part about it is Minister AJ is so right, you know, because people put, they put the representative out. And, you know, Brother Al's not lying either because, you know, I remember, you know, I crossed my line. I'm, you know, we're talking about my former life. I dated someone that I was working with, and, you know, he was taking me. I mean, when I tell you, whining and dining, we were going here and, you know, going to places that I had never seen before, taking me all kinds of places. And you have to pay attention to everything that's going on. I remember one particular time we were out in his part of town, and he lived, you know, kind of way out there, so not necessarily in the boroughs. He was out by Tangier. And so we're out there, we're laughing and giggling, and he had my hand, and he dropped it suddenly. And I'm like, well, there's something in my head. Do I think, you know, there's something not right? So, you know, I looked at him, and then I happened to look at somebody. It was a guy that was sitting across from us. I didn't piece two and two together until probably the week after that. I'm sitting at my job, and people are saying, you know, James is getting married. That's a James who? You know, because we only have one James at the time. James who? Who James? Not my James. The James that I've been dating for. So, you know, and I mean, I'm at my job trying to save face, trying to look, you know, my face is in, my foot is in my face. Like, I'm eating so much until my kneecap is in my mouth. I could not believe, like, we've been dating for quite a while. I introduced you to my parents. You know, I met your mother. We, you know, we were all over the place. And I'm sitting at my job like, really? This is what you do? So, you know, it's more than just asking. You got to pay attention. You got to watch. So, you know, I'm with Al on that one. I'm looking, I'm asking, and I'm paying attention to everything because I want to know before, you know, the wedding date, and I'm sitting at the job, and everybody, oh, James is getting, oh, James, we only have one James in this place. And I can't ask anybody because nobody's supposed to know we're dating. So that's my
story. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Leave it up to the Due Time crew to help shake the Monday morning blues. Oh, and I thank you so much for participating and really helping us to start our week. Have a blessed one. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'll be laughing about this stuff for the rest of the week. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
Bye-bye.
Whew. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, we after experiencing the Due Time crew on Monday morning, we can only go one place, and that's to get the switch there to finish out the morning. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Stuff.
My goodness.
Switch tip. Properly.
I was going to say, can you even give the switch tip after that? Oh, my goodness. What you got for us today?
Okay, today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And we're learning and seeing more and more that the enemy not only hears what we say, but he plays on the words that we say. There are six main words we need to make sure we stay away from. Back in, hold on, let me go to my notes. Back in August of 2019, my pastor gave us a lesson on the 40-day word fast. And I was like, okay, God, this can't only be for 40 days. This has to be throughout the rest of my life, forever and ever. Amen. Because these words are so damaging to my walk. And for those who you are putting me around and are putting around me, and if I'm supposed to be a disciple, which means I'm supposed to be bringing people to you, Jesus, I got to stay away from these words for longer than just 40 days. So the first word, judgment. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's taken from Matthew 12:36-37, New King James Version. Be careful of your words that judge others. And if I could take that word, write it down, boil it up, rip it up, and then burn it, I would, because it's so used, like, it's used so loosely. But we really have to make sure that we're careful about what we say about others, because God hears those words, and he's going to hold us accountable for everything that we say. And now, I ain't trying to stand up in front of God and talk about, oh, this is why I said this. Because what am I going to really say? Because I wanted to say it. Like, let's be for real. So stay away from judgment. Two, gossip. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. That's taken from Ephesians 5, verse 4, Message Version. Now, this is something that a lot of people who like to gossip, they try to go through this back door, but let me close it for you. Asking curious questions, especially with the intent to spread the news, is gossip. A lot of times people don't already heard something, and now they're going to go to the person and put it in the form of a question. to get some more information out just for them to go and spread it, that's still you gossiping. So cut it out. God gives us very little out. Next word, sarcasm. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, for what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And that's taken from Ephesians 4, verse 29, New King James Version. Do not use your words to be condescending to others, meaning do not use your words to talk down to or about others. When you do this, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And I know for me, a lot of times, if I'm going, even when I felt justified in speaking down to someone, because I used to love to do that, I would feel it. Like, then I'd feel bad. Like, but he or she just did or said this to me. Why am I feeling, all right, I can't talk down to them. You will feel it. So for those of us who have been baptized and have the privilege of possessing the Holy Spirit, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do that. So make sure we only speak words that build people up and not tear them down. Next word, negativity. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with them. That's taken from Titus 3, verse 10 in the English Standard Version. Don't ask questions that will help to bring someone down. I knew this one person, they loved stirring up division so much that they didn't even realize they were doing it. And they would act so oblivious when you brought it to their attention. And it just really made you want to, like, hurt them, because it's like, you're not that slow. You can't be that slow. But when you're a negative person like that, you just feed off of negativity. This is what you do. So now God gives us this out. Wait, because he says, after warning them once and then twice, you can wash your hands with them. Okay, so make sure you're not the person that's bringing that negativity, because now people can wash their hands with you. Okay, so now we're going to get into one that I really struggled with. The next word, complaining. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. And that's taken from 1 John 1, verse 9 in the Message Version. How about we try complaining to God about us, about our sins, instead of taking complaints to God that has to do with other people, whether you feel justified or not. Instead of complaining to God about the situation you're in, the circumstances, how about going to God about something that you keep messing up about? Okay, and another thing about complaining, especially when we complain out loud, we really have to keep this in mind. No one is attracted to a faith where the people are always dissatisfied with life and all they do is complain and grumble all day, every day. I would not, and it was just mentioned in the conversation, I don't want to go to a church or sit in a Bible study or meet your pastor or your congregant, and all you do is talk about them and complain about them all day. What are you bringing me to? And I'm supposed to want to be a part of this? No. So we have to really keep that in mind when we're complaining. Even if we're complaining about something that's not church-related, it's still our world. It's still our life. And for those of us who are Christians, you know, Jesus is supposed to be this transformer, and he makes a way out of no way. But we're complaining about every little thing. It turns people off. And after a while, it'll turn you off. Okay, our last word. Again, something else that I struggle with a lot. Criticism. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errand. That's taken from 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26 in the Message Version. You are officially interfering with the effect God needs to have on that person when you criticize them. I'm going to say that one again. You are officially interfering with the effect God needs to have on that person when all you do is criticize them. As a worker, as someone who is going out doing the work for Jesus and God, it is our duty and our obligation to, again, edify them, lift them up, be gentle. That's something else I had to, you know, which is the Holy Spirit I had to really wrap my head around. Be gentle even when they provoke you to be argumentative, but to bring them to him, because we don't know how or when, like the verse says, we don't know how or when God is going to turn them around. We don't know what may get to that person, but guess who does? God knows. So we have to make sure we're playing our part. And when we criticize people, that attitude, that criticizing attitude, it damages the one that's being critiqued as well as the critic. So don't think that you're not being damaged just because you're the one criticizing that person. Okay, so our switch tip 48 today is stay away from these words. Point blank, there's no getting around them. There's no compromising with them. There's no, well, I could do it this time, but I can't do it that time. Stay away from them, because even when you're the one who's being judgmental, the one who's gossiping, the one who's being sarcastic, the one who's being negative, the one complaining, and the one that's full of all of the criticism, when you think you're affecting the other person, you're really affecting yourself. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision to stop feeding and keeping these words in our mouth and just staying away from these words. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks. Okay, we've been cautioned to stay away from those words. Okay. Well, we are deep into the hour, and we're going to get our benediction for the day. And I'm looking at this one, and I think this fits our day. Excuse me. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And that kind of goes with our conversation about, you know, those questions that you ask in the beginning, in a new relationship, because we're always supposed to be representing God. You know, we always complain that, you know, people are bringing the representatives to the table, and yet, are we bringing God to the table? Are we that representative as well? Are we bringing a representative to the table when we don't bring God to the table? Something to think about. I'm going to just cross my mind. I'm wondering, okay? And we're talking about, you know, making sure you use those, you don't use those words. I was going to say it the opposite way, that you don't use certain words that will help to bring you down or someone else down. And we don't want to be accused of that, but we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, because as it says here, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So even when you struggle to do right, you know, Shanti's brought up the fact that, you know, hey, you know, I struggle with some of these things here. You know, this was my back criticizing, I gossip. And when you're struggling for righteousness' sake, your labor will not be in vain. It won't. It really won't, because God didn't say anything would be gravy, easy, you know, but just pressing toward the mark. You know, he says he's coming back for a perfect church. Well, we know that perfect is not what we deem as perfect in our thought, in our mind, but we definitely want to press our way. We struggle with all other kind of things, so let's struggle to be perfect for God, okay? So that our labor is not in vain. You know, you don't want to put all this energy and work into something that really will not count in the end. That's when your labor will be in vain. You know, I said that I had a little difficulty with something that was said earlier, and that was that baiting. You know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to ask you anything. I'm going to sit back and watch, and then, you know, I'm going to put you in that situation so that I can see how you respond. And I looked at the verse, Colossians 3:12. And it says, Colossians 3:12, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then I look at the fruit of the Spirit that says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And for some reason, that baiting ain't sitting well with me. It's like, how do we exemplify that baiting imitates the fruit of the Spirit? Because it's almost like, in a sense, and this may not be this particular person with, you know, who brought it up, but, you know, for others, you know, am I baiting you to see if you'll fail? And like I said, I'm not talking about Brother Al necessarily. I'm just talking about the whole concept, because what you do for one reason, another person does for another reason. But just this whole entire setup, it's a setup. You're setting me up for potential failure. Is that what we're supposed to be doing as God's people? As God's people, are we supposed to be instructing? Because if our job is to instruct and to guide and to live as examples, are we doing that when we withhold the question? Pay attention. We withhold that question, but we're going to sit back and watch and potentially put you in a situation where you may fail. Now, I'm throwing this out there because that may not have been the, you know, the thought process, but this is where it can go, and this is what it can look like, and ultimately, this is what it is. So when I'm looking at compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, and then I go back to Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that's not equal. And then we look at our benediction today, and we see, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, 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 immovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is not entrapping a person. So even if there was no real malice, you know, behind that, I think we have to check some of the things we do because, you know, again, like I said, I've said to you all here before that God has had to check me on real simple things, you know, things that I thought was simple. And, you know, I always talk to the congregation. I always say, you know, the way we look at stuff and the way God looks at stuff is very different. And we have to try to have the mind of God. Okay, now we know his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and all, but that's not what I'm talking about. Having a mind of God is looking at things the way God would look at them. And if God is saying that we need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, then that's what we need to make sure. So sometimes when we don't ask those questions, you know, we had the panel say, I wouldn't ask that question. Sometimes there are questions you need to ask for certain reasons. You know, everything ain't for you, us to sit back and watch, or, you know, sometimes God needs us to ask those questions because guess what? That just might be the thing that will help to change a person's thought process around. How do we know what we need to do in that person's life? Now, remember, we're talking about a new relationship, and that's why I wanted to make sure everybody understood. We're not talking about the first date. We're talking about a new relationship. That means that you didn't got past that first date, and you know, now this looks like a potential somebody in your life. And now we're going to see and we're going to pursue this and see where it goes. So it's a new relationship. And how do we know that asking certain questions, maybe not these ones, but asking certain questions is not what God is going to use to help direct that person, to give them something to think about? I remember I had two young ladies in the church, and they would come and ask me questions all the time, and I, instead of answering them outright, I always throw the question back at them. So I start asking them questions. They're like, why you just can't say yes or no? And I said, because God is breeding thinkers. He wants us to think about what we're saying. He wants us to think about what we're doing and why we're doing or why we're not doing it. We just can't be impulsive. We just can't be moving all willy-nilly, and we don't understand why. And sometimes you have to remember, if you are calling yourself a child of God, if you consider yourself a child of God, then you are always on the job. Remember, the Great Commission is always in effect. And sometimes that just vague and, you know, that a small conversation that we're having is really a big conversation at the end of the day. So some of those questions that we say, like I said, maybe not these ones, but some of those things that, you know, listen, this is a new relationship, I'm steering clear of that. Rethink that. Go to God and ask God, you know, God, what should I say? You're using me in this person's life. And we're talking to everybody who's listening, everybody who's, you know, potentially going and like I said, you know, you're getting out now and, you know, I said, well, you know what, I'm ready to get into that dating mode and, you know, I want to definitely, you know, see if about going further, you know, in this part of my life, then go to God. Let him direct you as to the things that you should be doing, shouldn't be doing, saying, shouldn't be saying, because all of the things that we say matter to this person. You know, remember, a reason and a season. We may be thinking that this is a potential, but God is not saying this is a potential. But what he may be doing is just, you're crossing paths for a small amount of time, and that's for you to make that impact that God needs for you to make. So let's make sure that we are going to be, you know, steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember, everything that we're doing, we're supposed to be doing for the sake of the kingdom. We're doing work in the kingdom, for the kingdom. We're always supposed to be working for God, even in those small conversations. You know, remember now, all of our conversations are not supposed to be idle conversation. Yeah, there's times when we can chit-chat and, you know, shoot the breeze, but questions. Questions are always thought-provokers. Questions are thought-provokers. There's a reason why we ask questions. So go to God and ask him, you know what, I'm dating so-and-so now. What is it that you would have me talk about? Because I want to make sure that I'm always abounding in your work. Okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off today. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for hanging out with me today. And we're going to, you know, we missed Pastor Sharlene today, but she has some business that she had to take care of. So we pray that all goes well with her. I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with me today as we were shaking that Monday morning blues. Remember, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later it's not promised to us. I pray that everyone has a blessed and wonderful day. I love you.